Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Peter Barker. I'm a geologist for ARCO Alaska Incorporated. I've been a petroleum geologist in Alaska for 22 years. I speak today on behalf of ARCO. ARCO appreciates the opportunity to testify on this matter excuse me, of importance to both the state and the petroleum industry. My remarks will be brief, and I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have. Excuse me. ARCO opposes HB 212 because we feel the state and the industry's best interests are served under the existing law. The state's best economic interests, thank you, are served when increasing leasing state's best economic interests are served when increased leasing and exploratory drilling are promoted. HB 212 would stymie both. Given Alaska's harsh climate and high drilling costs, coupled with the ever-present long lead times, uncertain economic conditions, and multiple lessors, the prudent operator is less likely to drill an exploratory well next to open acreage if his well data might be released to the might be released to the public prior to the time that the open acreage will be offered for leasing. Therefore, ARCO believes that exploratory drilling will decline if HB 212 is enacted. Historically, there has been a strong correlation between impending lease sales and exploratory drilling. In the 18 months prior to the state of Alaska Prudhoe Bay sale in 1969, a total of 17 exploratory wells were drilled on leased parcels adjacent to unleased parcels scheduled for the 1969 sale. Although these operators were hoping to find oil, they were obviously attempting to gain information that would help them bid on adjoining parcels. From 1974 through 1979, no state lease sales were held due to various factors, including complications of the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. From 1974 through 1976, very few exploratory wells were drilled. In 1976, in anticipation of the joint state-federal Beaufort Sea sale scheduled for 1978, exploratory activity picked up. In 1978, when it became apparent that this sale would have to be delayed, the state enacted the current law. This law allows operators to apply for extended confidentiality on wells drilled in the vicinity of unleased lands in order to retain the incentive for which they drilled. To change the law now would only recreate the problem that the legislature resolved in 1978. Before the state added the confidentiality provision, which HB 212 would gut, exploratory well drilling activity typically surged before lease sale in the area. Since the state added the extended confidentiality provision in 1978, exploratory drilling has occurred at a more reasoned and market-based rate because exploration companies have not had to delay drilling or risk losing their competitive edge by the disclosure of valuable well information prior to a lease sale. My personal experience confirms this. I've been involved in numerous lease sales in my 22-year career in Alaska, and in every one, a major strategic element was the consideration of drilling a well or wells at a location that would provide information for an upcoming sale. In the past, there have been statements made to the effect that operators only drill wells to find oil and gas. That's certainly true, up to a point. We do not normally drill wells without an economically feasible venture. But the strategy involves finding the combination of the best prospect located in the optimum position to provide information on adjacent unleased lands. It is a standard part of our lease sale preparation, as I'm certain it is of any exploratory company. The aggressive explorer must look to the future. The early release of well data punishes the aggressive explorer. One issue I'd like to speak to concerns the provision in HB 212 for extended confidentiality on wells drilled solely for geologic information. For several reasons, the committee should not rely on this provision as providing adequate confidentiality. First, such wells simply are not drilled. In my 22 years in Alaska, I can remember only one well on state or private land that arguably might have qualified under this proposed exception. That was the Reindeer Island well drilled by Sohio in 1979. Second, in the KIC well case, the Department of Natural Resources has argued repeatedly that the well was drilled primarily to discover oil and that the subsurface information was somehow only an ancillary benefit. If this is the position of the DNR on a well like this, we should presume that no well will ever qualify for extended confidentiality under the exception for wells drilled solely for geologic information. Finally, as a practical matter, it is very unlikely that many wells would ever be drilled in Alaska on state or private lands solely for geologic information. Drilling costs in Alaska are extremely high compared to those in the lower 48 states' drilling costs due to the remote locations typically drilled, transportation costs, labor costs, and environmental protection laws. It is just too expensive to drill a well solely for geologic information in Alaska. The KIC well reportedly cost BP and Chevron approximately $40 million. Offshore wells, such as the Stinson well, can cost twice that much. A second provision of HB 212 that I'd like to address involves the continuing the present law as status quo until July 1991. Critical exploratory wells will continue to be drilled in Alaska for many years. As long as there is open acreage and a probability that this acreage will be available for leasing, the need for extended confidentiality will continue. The real significance of this date is that after this date, ARCO and every other exploration company in Alaska will have to be much more cautious and circumspect about drilling near unleased acreage if HB 212 is enacted. This would add another substantial and burdensome complication to drilling in an environment already too complicated and burdensome. One item that needs clarification is the contention that the current law stifles competition by denying a broad common database to any company that may want to explore in Alaska. Companies that are aggressive explorers and have the expertise, capital, and commitment to explore Alaska have been here doing so since statehood and are exploring now. Other companies who have not been involved in drilling in Alaska already have a wealth of information available. The vast majority of well information in Alaska is available to them free of cost, courtesy of those who have taken the risks and expended the capital. It should be pointed out that the release of over 100 wells drilled on the NPRA has not increased competition and not encouraged any more companies to explore the area other than those who have operated on the North Slope historically. Confidential well information is currently available to exploration companies. Several common ways companies obtain such well information is through exchanges for other confidential well information they own and through a concept called a bottom hole contribution, where companies pay money, which might be several million dollars if and when the well reaches a specified depth, for the well data. Indeed, bottom hole contributors are frequently used to fund the initial drilling of a well. With HB 212, the information would be available for free. Companies would have no reason to pay bottom hole contributions, and an important means of financing expensive drilling operations would disappear. The result could be less exploratory drilling. Another point that I would like to speak to concerns the suggestion that firms which drill exploratory wells in frontier areas do not actually provide free information to other firms, even under a two-year disclosure rule. Because the firm doing the drilling is able to recoup most of its costs from other firms through the process of cost equalization. But cost equalization will occur only if the lease owned by the exploratory firm is later included in other leases in a potential producing unit. A substantial majority of exploratory wells drilled in Alaska have not been included in potential producing areas. Most have not been developed, and as a result, these wells may never have their cost shared. Far more important to note is that if an exploratory well is incapable of production, and this is true of most exploratory wells, there is usually no cost equalization. Another contention of proponents of eliminating extended confidentiality is that the release of well data will allow safer, more efficient drilling practices. This simply is not true. The Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, AOGCC, already obtains the drilling data from every well drilled. It is aware if there are known drilling hazards in certain formations, and it ensures safe drilling practices because all drilling operations must be permitted by them. The AOGCC currently reviews and approves all drilling plans prior to the drilling of each well in Alaska, without having to divulge the well data to the public. Making all well data public will not make drilling operations any safer or more efficient than they already are. ARCO hopes the committee will not change the current law and leave open the possibility that all critical offsetting wells to be drilled in Alaska may receive extended confidentiality. Thank you. I'll try to answer your questions now.
Thank you very much, Peter. For the record, I think we would like a copy of your testimony, sir. And we'll see that all the committee members get them, anybody else that would like to have them. Are there questions of the committee? Representative Phillips.
Mr. Barker, yes. Excuse me. Has your 22 years as an Alaskan geologist all been with ARCO?
Yes, that's true.
Thank you.
Are there other questions? Representative Zawaki.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to get clarification because I guess I was puzzled when we were talking about geological information and geological drilling. My understanding, almost all of the testing for stratigraphic formations and geology is done through either electronics or blasting, and has been for many years. Is that correct?
The answer to your question might be a little bit too long. I'll try to shorten it as much as I can. We get very specific information in the drilling of a well. It's much more precise, but the information is only from that well bore, those few inches diameter of a well bore drilled through the earth. The seismic that you referred to gives us information of a different sort. It is not nearly as precise. Instead of being able to measure things down to a few inches, we can measure things down to about 50 feet in thickness. If things are significantly thinner than that, we can't see them. Mm-hmm. So we get a more generalized picture, but a picture of a larger area, because we get presumably information over all the areas that we run the seismic over. So it's a much wider look at things.
Thank you very much. If there's no further questions, thank you very much, Mr. Barker, for coming before the committee here, and we do have a copy of your testimony here. And I'm going to call David Crosby, who is next, and it's going to be my intentions to conclude this hearing as close to 5 o'clock as I can. And I personally have to get to another committee meeting, and I'm needed for a quorum at that one. So with that, Mr. Crosby, would you please give us your name and your affiliation? Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to you and members of the Special Oil and Gas Committee. My name is David Crosby. I'm here today on behalf of the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, which is one of the 13 Native regional corporations founded under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Arctic Slope does own about 5 million acres of subsurface up on the North Slope. They are the only significant private property owner on the North Slope, and as such, they are in active competition with the other two property owners on the North Slope, the state and the United States. In light of the time, and especially in light of the prime sponsor's remarks that it would be appropriate to hold this bill until the Supreme Court has acted, I will not take a great deal of your time. I did represent Arctic Slope in the lawsuit in which we successfully enjoined the disclosure of information from a well drilled on private land, specifically the KIC well within Anwar. We successfully enjoined the disclosure of that information to the Commissioner of Natural Resources. I have with me copies of the opinion of the Superior Court. We have every reason to believe that the Supreme Court will concur. If the Supreme Court concurs in that opinion, then the provisions of this bill, which purport to continue the existing law with respect to wells drilled before July 1, 19, 1991, and the provisions that purport to turn that information over to the commissioner for to fulfill his duties would be unconstitutional in the same respect that the provisions of the existing law have been deemed to be unconstitutional. And that's, other than taking questions, that's all I intend to say. And I do want to say that I greatly appreciate the courtesy and the time extended to me by the prime sponsor of this bill, who did get in touch with me and listen to the views of Arctic Slope, and we greatly appreciate the willingness of the prime sponsor to hold off on this bill until the Supreme Court acts. The case was argued more than 6 months ago under the rules of the courts. There's an opinion, or should be an opinion, circulating within the Supreme Court, and I anticipate that within several months we'll have an answer to some of these questions.
Thank you very much. Are there questions, Representative Phillips?
Mr. Crosby, what position do you occupy with Arctic Slope Region?
I'm counsel to Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, and I did represent them in the KIC Will case.
Thank you.
And also, Mr. Crosby, if we could get a copy for the record of which we have here, maybe staff. Let's take those. We need a little more reading, you see, David. You got a one pager on that.
You just got it.
Well, let's see here. All right. Any further questions? No questions. Thank you very much, then, Mr. President. Well, let's see here. We're getting close to 5 o'clock. I do have. Are we still on teleconference, Lori?
Yes, we still are.
Still are? All right. We're on teleconference for just another couple of minutes. I will go to Anchorage and see if Mr. Robert Mintz is there. He is asked to testify on House Bill 212. Mr. Mintz, are you there, and would you like to testify?
I am here, yes. This is Robert Mintz. I'm an Assistant Attorney General in the Department of Law. I actually was just asked to be present in case there were any questions that came up, particularly as to any issues that relate to the KIC Well litigation, which several people have referred to, because I represented the state in the Supreme Court appeal on that. I guess the only point I'd make right now in response to Mr. Crosby's remark is simply to point out, to make clear that the Superior Court decision, which I believe Mr. Crosby just distributed, dealt only with the question of access and use by DNR of confidential well data, and did not decide the constitutionality of public disclosure. That may or may not be addressed by the Supreme Court, but that the constitutionality of public disclosure has not been addressed by the court.
All right, does that conclude your opening remarks?
Yes, it does. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to try and address them.
Any questions of the committee to Mr. Mintz? All right, thank you very much, Mr. Mintz. And I think with that, we are going to conclude testimony on House Bill 212. At the request of the prime sponsor, we will... one moment here. It's just been pointing out to me, we do have one other person in Anchorage, Mr. Ken Boyd. I think we got a moment here if you'd like to give us your testimony, if you're there, sir, in Anchorage.
Yes, Chair, my name is Ken Boyd. I'm the Deputy Director for Division of Oil and Gas. I think everything's been covered fairly well. I just have a little bit of information. There are, in fact, in reference to a question asked earlier, there are 37 wells presently on extended confidentiality. 17 of those are on drill site 2T in Qatar, so at least 20 more general wells on extended confidentiality. The longest-term confidentiality is the Chevron Cobblestone well on ASRC land, which has been held confidential since 1982.
I thank you very much, Mr. Boyd. Any questions, Mr. Boyd? While we have you. All right, thank you very much. Then I think we've now concluded all of the testimony that we're going to receive today on House Bill 212. Thank all of those people who have been listening in on both a HJR 36 as well as House Bill 212. We'll hold both of these over. We'll announce when we'll bring them back up. And I do have a few words with the committee just before we leave here. I know you've all...